on 612 ABC Brisbane. Let's go back and look at property again this morning. My next guest, his nickname was sort of known as the Property Whisperer. His name is Warren Ebert. He's Chief Executive Officer and founder of Sentinel Property Group. Warren, thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much, Steve. An absolute pleasure.
All right. Let's talk bluntly. How's the housing market here?
Well, I think if you talk about the whole residential market, it's absolutely stuffed and getting worse. There's no plan to fix it. The government's of just throwing more money at it, and all that does is push prices up. We just do not have enough workers in Australia or Queensland to cope with a immigration of, depend what numbers you read, I've seen up to 800,000. If you look at how many people came in last year and how many people left, it's actually 800,000 difference.
Okay.
We can cope with 200,000. We're just in a terrible, terrible situation, and it can only get worse.
All right. The state government says we're building things. We're building hospitals and infrastructure. We're building stuff that the state needs. What's that doing to the housing sector?
Well, to start with, Steve, I've just driven over here this morning and they're not building anything. They're actually on strike. So they're not building anything. But what they're doing with the government's policies is pushing up the wages. And while our Premier says it's only for government projects, you know, I have a friend with a large building company in Mackay, and he's losing all of his workers. They're going to work on the new Mackay Hospital. The state just is in a terrible situation and is getting worse. Certainly we need these major projects, but the cost of them is just sucking up all the money. It's sucking up all the workers. And you know, I know a very large builder, when they do their timelines to do a major construction project now, they actually work on 3.2 hours per day per worker as productive work.
What? 3.2 hours?
3.2 hours. Well, I've just driven over and you see them all sitting out the front of Roma Street on strike. So 3.2 hours. It's an absolute disgrace, and it's getting worse. You see in the paper the other day, you know, they want another 20 RDOs. Now, I think they already have 26. If it's another 20 on top of that.
It's a month.
And then if you have a look, they have, an RDO Monday. Then
it's more than a month.
And then they have 4 days strike, and then they get a public holiday on Monday. well, you know, it's just terribly sad.
All right. What is the effect of the state government's big build, as they call it? These are all these infrastructure projects, hospitals and the like. What is the effect of the big build on the housing market in Queensland?
We just don't. Well, they're sucking up all the workers in those projects, and we just do not have the people to build.
So they're actually hindering the housing market.
Exactly.
It's not just that they're building infrastructure, they're actually damaging what they say they're trying to fix, the housing market.
Exactly. And you know, I don't know when you're talking about housing, if you talk about units, because that's certainly quite a large part. You know, you go and talk to some of the major unit developers, and they will tell you they are not building anything in the future and have no plans because the costs are so far out of control. But then you talk to the builders, and they will not sign a construction contract to do a residential apartment because they just don't know how long it will take to build. And you can't go and get funding. You know, the major builders down the coast, they will only do it on cost plus 10%. Well, you cannot borrow money off the bank when you say, well, I don't know what it's going to cost, but it'll be whatever it costs to build plus 10%, so you can't get funding. It's in a terrible, terrible situation.
So despite all the announcements by the state and the federal government, the housing and apartment build is slowing down?
Yes. It's coming to a complete halt in Queensland.
A complete halt?
If you're only going to do two three-storey walk-ups, there'll be smaller builders do that, and they're not affected quite as much by the major contracts. But if you've got a concreter, and you pay them, let's say, $100,000 a year, but they can go and get $200,000 a year to work on a government project, Steve, where are they going to go? Like, it's a terrible, terrible situation, really.
Warren Ebert is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Sentinel Property Group. This is 612 ABC Brisbane. Steve Austin's my name. Can we or could we convert empty office stock, empty office space into some sort of residential housing, Warren?
Almost impossible, Steve. There's only one building in the city. I think it's on the corner of Albert and Charlotte. It's called the Capri Apartments. Because what you've got to have for a habitable room, which is where you can sleep, you have to have natural light. So you can't have the big floor plates. If you imagine a 2,000 square metre floor plate and each bedroom has to have natural light, you get so much dead space in the middle. You also have to have fire exits. Now, when those buildings were built, and if they're vacant now, they're probably older buildings, so built under different regulations, different specifications. They don't have the fire services, don't have the emergency exits. There's very few, like, while it sounds a great idea, here's a vacant office building converted to residential, very, very few can actually work, and that's why you see it not happening.
So how do we tackle the housing crisis? How do we fix it? If even the state government, who says that, you know, their figure was $1 billion or $2.6 billion to build social housing or new housing in Queensland, but it's actually coming to a grinding halt, is what you're telling me.
Exactly. Steve, we need more qualified tradespeople. Now, you know, our business is...
Well, the federal government says they're bringing in tradies from... That's what the immigrants are solving that problem. Is that true or not?
No. Well, clearly it hasn't solved it, otherwise we wouldn't have the problem. Yeah, they're bringing in certainly a lot of immigrants, but I was at a function last night and you know, a lot of the numbers are actually university students who, you know, they don't, they're now back to working 20 hours a week. So when you work 20 hours a week, you don't actually have to pay tax and contributing to the economy. And then the profits that go to the universities aren't taxed. So anyway, that's a whole other story. So
now I'm really interested.
So the days are gone after World War II when we had, you know, some of the great immigrants, you know, Italy, Greece, Yugoslavia, wherever they were, you know, in their 30s, come over here, start a family, pay taxes for 35 years and really help the economy. We're certainly not getting enough workers. And if you go to any construction company now, they need more workers. So if the government is bringing in a lot, it's certainly not enough. And the problem we have now, Steve, where the hell do they live? There is nowhere for them to live. You know, we've got the state government. I can understand they're trying to solve the housing crisis, but by buying old blocks of flats and motels and throwing out the current tenants are paying rent and putting in homeless people, well, it's good for the homeless people. But we already know we have a rental shortage. So you're throwing people out who are paying rent out on the street. Where do they go? Yeah, you know, they do not have a... They say they have a plan, but when you sit down and analyse it, it doesn't work and it can't work.
So I hadn't thought of that. So as the government takes buildings and says, we're buying this building and putting homeless people in there, they're actually kicking out people who are paying rent. So it's not actually solving the housing problem at all.
No, it's
just changing the tenant slightly.
Well, it's actually making it worse. Now, while we certainly don't want anyone, no one wants anyone living on the street.
Sure.
But if you're taking someone who's living on the street and then actually putting them into accommodation that is now leased, well, where does that tenant go? Do they go out on the street to live? Because we're not building enough accommodation. You know, we've got immigration running at a much, much faster rate than we're producing accommodation in Australia. So the situation is only getting worse. And by the government picking trying to pick winners, and if they go to you, Steve, and say, here's $200 million to go and build 200 homes. Well, for you to do that, you've got to take my staff and staff of other builders, and you will fulfil your contract with the government to the 200 homes. But between all of us, we haven't built any more because I don't have any staff. The other fellas don't have any staff. So they do not have a workable solution.
The state government doesn't have a workable solution?
No way in the world. They wouldn't have a clue.
The federal government?
No. It's just all talk.
House prices in Brisbane have risen 65% since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's extraordinary. I mean, it would be great in different scenarios, but is that going to stop?
In spite of what people down south may think, Steve, Brisbane is the best city in the best country in the world. And I think during COVID, people realised that. And while our housing certainly has got very expensive, and I think now in the papers today it says it's just surpassed Melbourne.
That's right, yeah.
It's still much, much cheaper than Sydney. Our schooling is cheaper. You know, from Brisbane, within... Yeah, 45 minutes, you can be at the beach, you can be out in the country. It certainly is a better quality of lifestyle. And with electricity prices going through the roof coming into winter, you don't need as much heating here as you do down south. So there's still a lot of advantages, but it's getting a critical situation up here.
Is it a good time to invest in Queensland?
We're certainly
I can see your brain thinking about how to phrase this.
Well, it's depending what you're looking at buying. We certainly intend to be a very active buyer of CBD offices this year. We intend buying a lot this year. So there's always good opportunities in good markets and bad. You just have to be selective and do your homework.
Okay. How would changes to the wholesale investor rules affect the market. This is something I touched on yesterday with someone, a writer for the Australian Financial Review, where they were really worried what the federal government's proposing. Just explain what the wholesale investor proposals are, if you like, up front.
Steve, as it is now, to be classed as a wholesale or sophisticated investor, you have to have a minimum net worth of $2 million, and that can include the family home and your superannuation fund. Or you have to have an income of $250,000 a year for the last 3 years, or you can make a single investment of $500,000. Now, if you do either of those three, you're classed as a sophisticated investor.
All right. And the government wants to change that.
The government...
They want to lift the bar.
Well, I'm not actually quite sure whether the government want to lift it or if it's the people behind it, that the big superannuation funds, and we know who control those, if they can stop the self-managed superannuation funds, then they have to invest with them, so it's in their interest. And then we've got the Australian Financial Services Council, and we know some of the people are in that, and one of the big names, and I won't say it on ABC, but they actually start with an A. Mm-hmm. They were charged with people who were dead, they were charging them fees. Now, and they're the ones who are wanting, saying these changes should be brought in place. They really need to look at their... at themselves.
It's been said to me by a couple of hedge fund guys I know and a couple of investors who would invest in your field as well, commercial property, that this would be a disaster, that it shuts out entrepreneurial activity. It makes it harder for entrepreneurs. It makes it harder for sort of people who want to invest, who've got a startup, for people who actually want to have a go. It makes it harder for them. Do you agree? Or if they change it, it would make it harder for them.
Certainly, Steve. And for our investor pool, it really doesn't make much difference to us. But if you have a look at some of the GoFundMe things, and there's some of those IT startups are after a couple of million dollars, and they get people who put in $500 or $1,000. They're not sophisticated, they're not big investors. So it will really knock them about enormously. Now, over in England just recently, their threshold was £250,000. They lifted it to £350,000, and within a couple of months they changed it back because they could see what it did to the small investors. Now, my company has an AFSL, Australian Financial Services Licence. Now, if people are doing the wrong thing, they need to be prosecuted. There's absolutely no argument about that, about the shonks. Majority of people do the right thing. Now, some of these companies that have lost money for investors, they're actually retail schemes. They weren't for wholesale investors. So, they need to tighten up on the people who do the wrong thing and let others get on and do their business.
Warren Ebert is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Sentinel Property Group. This is 612 ABC Brisbane. Warren Ebert has the nickname in the industry as the Property Whisperer. Tell me about the taxi driver years. I'm intrigued to know what this is. Explain it to me.
Steve, I had a cab for about 8 years. The long story short, I actually picked a fellow up at Expo House in 1988. Quick drive back to the city. He thought I knew a bit about property. I said, I don't. I just read the papers, have a good memory for detail. He said, if you ever want a job in property, call me. I did. A couple of months later, I ended up getting a job at LJ Hooker, at Hooker House, 127 Creek Street.
In my mind, if you're a taxi driver, you've had a real job, because you actually see real people every single day.
All the time.
All the time. So you've actually got a half-decent radar for what's going on.
Well, I actually wanted to be in property then, because I could see you only worked till lunchtime, then got on the grog after that. I thought, I could do this.
Who wouldn't want that job? Yes, fair enough.
So anyway, I ended up getting a job with LJ Hooker a couple of years later, I was Salesman of the Year, and now we've got a fund with over $2 billion, $1.5 billion.
Is that the market value of Sentinel Property Group?
A little bit over $2 billion, the assets we have, yeah. And we have $1.5 billion invested in Mackay North. So we are the largest owner of commercial property in Northern Australia. But just in finishing that off the taxi driver, there's a fellow called Warren Leonard who I picked up, and I went round to my mother's not long after his funeral, and he showed me the photo, and she said, this is the fellow you were named after. So the fellow I picked up in the cab, I was actually named after him. My grandfather was a bookmaker, and my mother's auntie was a nurse, and they used to go over to see this young family at West End, and it was a widow with four children, and my mother said, if I ever have a son, I'm going to call him Warren. And I picked that fellow up in the cab 28 years later. And I didn't know till after he died, and went around my mother. She said, here's the photo. So crikey. What a small world, Steve.
Crikey.
Yeah. But shows if a cab driver can make money, anyone can do it.
Why are you investing in Queensland so heavily in commercial property then?
As most people around the world know, there's only two cities in Australia, Sydney and Melbourne. If you don't come from them, well, you mustn't come from Australia. But and in Australia, the big money is in Sydney and Melbourne. Now, whether that's the banks or the superannuation funds or the private. So when they build a building, speculate a building, their tenants, they'll do it in Sydney and Melbourne. So Brisbane, we actually have an undersupply. Melbourne is in a terrible, it will be at least a decade. So, they were locked.
It's in a terrible state. It'll terrible be at least a decade state. Before it recovers.
And getting worse. Okay. And getting right. worse. We can do a whole new session on that. But when they were locked down for 8 months, people had to learn to work from home. Now, right. A friend of mine who runs one of the major commercial agencies, leasing department in Melbourne, he said one example is Telstra. A few years ago, they had 11 office buildings in Melbourne CBD. They now have one, and they're subleasing half of that. Mm. Now, in Brisbane, we never had that. Now, there's some people working from home, but we're seeing a growing population base. So for every person in the city, you actually need about 1 square metre of office space. Now, what we're seeing, the population of growth, the population is growing in Brisbane, yet we're not building the office space.
Right.
So we've got major companies spent too much in the boom, and now they have to sell, and there's very few buyers.
I have to go, Warren. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much, Steve. Appreciate that.
Warren Ebbett.